Namaste, ladies and gentlemen. We're here to talk about data management at a relatively higher level. And since we have our very own absolute expert in data management, let's take advantage of it. Noel, you've dabbled in this area for a long time. Clinical data management, you span medical devices, IVDs, even pharma. How would you define data management? How would you put the whole concept and practice of data management in a nutshell?
Yeah, thanks a million for having me today, Jay. Really appreciate the opportunity to be talking to you. I think it's in one sense, I love the question and I love where we're at today, but it's been some journey over the last 16, 17 years then to where we have come from to where we are right now. So for me, the journey started mid-2000s where the majority of studies, medtech, pharma, biotech, in terms of paper, and using systems like Oracle Clinical, and panicking before audits where you would have to block book your time to get in front of a printer, print out thousands of pages each.
Swimming,
you know,
exactly.
And the amazing thing really is that, you know, from an investigation site, from the time that the case report form is completed, from the very outset, and correcting it and then sending it, and the number of hands that would have actually touched before it would reach data management then as well itself. I mean, half the department that we had was document management alone. So I think going from there to a very digital electronic environment has been a really, really interesting change then as well, to be able to see that evolution over the last 16, 17 years to where we're currently at now. And I think looking at the difference between, you know, data management in medtech versus pharma versus biotech, there's significant differences that you would want to have to make sure that, you know, ultimately the standard approach is that, you know, your data needs to be reliable, it needs to be protected, it needs to be safe, data privacy measures, using the right technology to be able to have, you know, the best output possible from a regulatory perspective.
Got it. I mean, clearly you've presided over that transition from an entirely manual operations to what is more electronic. And what's more is you're going to preside on yet another threshold, which is going to be with the advent of AI. So that's going to keep things very exciting too.
And it's, you're absolutely right. It's one of the buzzwords at the moment, but I am really excited about it. It's not something that is overhyped at all. Mm-hmm. I think that the use of AI in every single repeatable format and function that we have in data management is the way that we're going. And if you're not going to get there quick enough, you're going to fall behind really within that. I think the ability to be able to take a protocol call from its essence and to be able to make sure that the cleaning of the data and the management and oversight of that data then as well is done as automatically as possible in a way that can be streamlined into seconds of work as opposed to weeks and weeks of work then as well is a really exciting place to be.
Sure. I mean, for good measure, nobody wants a repeat of the Kodak situation, right? You want to be able to move forward. Well, Noel, can you please explain at least the cornerstones of data management when it comes to the preclinical study phase, the ongoing study phase, as well as the post-study phase? What are the cornerstones as far as data management is concerned?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think if you look at the evolution of a project in itself, the busiest times traditionally have been at the start and at the end of a project. And that will be, you know, setting up the database to make sure that the database is effectively running in the best way possible. So what we look at is the development of a case report form that that extracts the most important and primary endpoint, secondary endpoint data from the database itself. Then we look at building in edit checks into an electronic database capturing system. And those edit checks are aimed to try and make sure that we've got system checks and, you know, any errors that are going to occur for a site that they can see it immediately. You have forgotten this information, this date is in the future, things like that then as well that we would typically see when we're entering in different forms online. And we want to make sure that we're anticipating as many of those challenges or issues that a site has at the outset. We also want to be able to make sure that they can only see information that they require. So there might be a form that just has one question. Does this subject have any adverse events, yes or no? And they only need to complete the form if they answer yes. The rest, you know, is just is going to make it as easy as possible. So we're trying to make sure that the database is, you know, ultimately as simple, as easy, as user-friendly as a site can possibly be then as well. And because of that, it's really important that we work closely with our clinical operations and our project management and the other experts then as well within clinical research, so that we can have a shared understanding of the best way to be able to capture that. And ultimately, we can have our perspective then as well from an industry perspective, but sponsor organizations will have their own expectations. Sure. They'll have their own standards. They'll have their own recommendations. They'll have their own demands, you know, so stuff, what things will actually look like. So part of that set of phases is going to look at how do we combine all of those personalities and experiences together to create that perfect case report form? How do we build in edit checks then as well to make sure that you're capturing as many of those issues and challenges as you have from the very outset of the study? And then when you go live, you can be confident that adequate testing has been done on the sponsor side and on the various different functional lead side, so that we can say together that this has been a collaborative approach and that we're happy that this case report form ultimately, you know, fits the bill. As we move in towards maintenance, the tendency in the past that I've seen quite a lot of people do is, okay, we've set up the study, relax. Maybe move on to other projects or move on to other kind of aspects then as well. But my approach then as well will be quite different. It's strike while the iron's hot, make sure that we've got, you know, validation conventions in place then as well within 6 to 8 weeks of going live. So you've got, you know, your listings, your manual listings, any oversight listings then that can be formulated then as well as soon as you possibly can, because ultimately we want to create new queries on new data that helps support relationships, positive relationships with sites. It helps, you know, relations with sponsor organizations, not because they're asking us to, but because we can deliver and we can stand over key performance indicators from a quality perspective and make sure that we're delivering the best in class service. And in order to do that then as well, we can then help clean the data on an ongoing basis from the very outset, so that ultimately we can close data, we can close and lock subjects and sites on an ongoing basis during maintenance, so that we're when we're coming up towards an interim analysis or ultimately database lock, that we have already got 70 or 80% of the data already locked at that stage. So ultimately our demands around timelines and our ability to be able to deliver, you know, 2-3 weeks of, you know, last patient date to database lock, they're not fabricated. They are real timelines that we can deliver and stand over, because ultimately we've been able to do that ourselves then as well through the process of being able to maintain the study in an effective manner. So not only is it good for a relationship, but it's really good to be able to stand on top of the data, so that ultimately on an ongoing basis, our filing is up to date, our trial master file is up to date, our listings and our reviews are iterative and they're ongoing on a monthly basis, and that ultimately we can lock the study knowing that it's in a really good shape.
Got it. Ensuring data reliability towards a legitimate study.
Exactly.
Now, Noel, in the interest to learn a little bit more from your expertise and your perspective, how does data management or even aspects associated with validation vary between medical devices to IVDs, to say even pharma, or for that matter, even combination devices?
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite different in terms of the way the expectations around what the data is doing and how it's doing it. And the way that I've seen expectations around, you know, med tech companies is that they want what I'm going to call a lighter touch in comparison to pharma companies. But I think if we look at some of those aspects, you know, pharma has required a lot more external data reconciliations. And one of the aspects then as well from a maintenance perspective is, you know, not just what's happening in EDC, but what's happening outside of EDC. What are the other databases? So on an oncology study, for instance, you might have 7 or 8 different labs. And if those labs deliver, data then as well, how is that going to be checked to cross-check and to align with the data then as well in the EDC database? MedTech seems to be a lot more, grounded in terms of, not requiring as much external data reconciliations.
I like the choice of word, grounded.
and I think that's also an important aspect. But, you know, I think the ultimate aim here is that what we want to do is we want to deliver standards that are going to balance our approach to being able to deliver the best quality data, regardless of where that sponsor has come from then as well, to be able to make sure that their procedures are being protected and it's done in a way that we can actually, deliver first class prioritization then as well of the data itself.
Makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Noel, for sharing your perspective. I really appreciate it.
Not at all. Thanks a lot for your time, Jay.